masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be careful in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you.
How will you be remembered? I began to think about this particular chapter, and a lot of the chapter is all greetings. And as I was putting together this series, I was thinking, what would I say in regards, because there's not quite as much meat in chapter 4 as there is in each of the other chapters. And so I started thinking about it, and I thought, one of the most significant things is like that Paul remembers each of these people in the church for a certain reason. And they are now talked about 2,000 years later for this particular thing. And millions of copies of the Bible have been printed. And so these people are remembered. And I think, wow, well, if God knew that from the very, very beginning, and he did, then it was really significant and important to remember about each of these people and what impact they left. And I thought, wow, what about us? How will you be remembered? You know, I've often thought that it would be kind of nice to, I know this is probably a little warped, but it'd be nice to kind of be at your own funeral. Wait a minute. Then again, you are at your own funeral. Okay. Well, I meant alive. So you could kind of hear all the nice things that people say, but particularly how you're remembered. You know, in the passing of my dad, it was just, you know, this past year. It's very easy for me to come up with three characteristics about my dad that I could be able to say. I mean, he loved God. That was the ultimate. That was the very highest. He loved his family. I mean, he prayed for us, and it was a burden for us. But he loved life. He loved life. And so as I would think about that, I think, well, what three phrases or three words would I use to describe me? And more importantly, what three phrases or words would you use to describe yourself? Or would you want people to use when they think about you? Now, if you want people to think those things about you when you die, whenever that is, then you ought to be aiming toward that now. Because that's what we need to make as our purpose. I want to be remembered for this. So I would say you might want to jot down one of those three things, like on your outline, that would say, what would it be? Because that's probably the most significant part of this chapter that we're going to talk about. And I've given you some options and some thoughts that you might select from as you would think. Certainly, it's a life to be remembered. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Isn't that an incredible verse? Read it with me because it's so good. Let's read it together. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Boy, should that be nailed in front of us someplace so we see it like regularly? Live wisely. Live wisely. Make the most of every opportunity. Don't let a moment pass when you're taking advantage of it and you're looking for that. Live wisely. Now, I have to tell you, I'm not sure like what we're not thinking sometimes when we do some things in our lives. Live wisely among those who are not believers. When there are those in your life and in your world who do not know Christ, like, I want to represent Christ the very best I can to them. I mean, I'm not trying to be something I'm not or hypocritical. I don't mean that. But I want to be very, very conscious of everything I'm doing because I want them to see Christ in me. Not me, but Christ in me. And so, I know it's hard sometimes if you're the only believer in your family and if you're the only one who's living for Christ. But what are we not getting when we go home and complain about people in the church or complain about the church to our unbelieving family? It's like, why would they want to come be a part if all you do is talk negatively about it? Like, what are we not thinking? What are we not realizing? I mean, I want to be really intentional about what I say, what I do, how I live my life, so people can see Christ in me. And I'm talking about what God is doing. Live wisely among those who are not believers. Make the most of every opportunity. Let's pray. Father, teach us today that we might live for you, make the most of every opportunity. In Christ's name, amen. How will you be remembered? Well, as we see the beginning of this, he says, remember that you also have a master in heaven. Well, part of how I'm going to be remembered is making sure I'm keeping my focus clear. Because you know, whatever you're focused on, that's what you're going to become. It's just reality. If you're angry and bitter about somebody in your life, guess what you're going to become like? You'll say, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. That's the way it is. You become like whatever you're focused on. And so what you have to realize is I'm going to have to be conscious about what is my focus. So if that's the case, how will I be remembered? Remember who you are in Christ. No matter what happens in my life, I remember who I am in Christ. Because he says, we are writing to God's holy people in the city of Colossae who are faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. That's who I am. I'm one of the brothers in Christ. And so we are a part of that. And so we are God's holy people. That's who I am. I've got to remember who I am. I must also remember what Christ has done for me. And so when I think about that, I think, what's Christ done for me? And so what do I see? This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Wow. That's because of who we are in Christ. And so what I have to remember is who I am in Christ and what Christ has done for me. That's going to keep my focus much better, much cleaner, much more positive in all that he's doing. Remember when Christ changed your life. Every one of us has to have some moment in time where our life has changed. And when I gave my heart to Christ and I gave my life to Him, I was born again. And born again means there's a whole new life now living in me. And so, as a result, I'm changed. You were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for He forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took away it by nailing it to the cross. So that's the good news that we have. Once I was dead, but now I'm alive. Once I did not know God, I was an enemy of His, but now my life has changed. And so, as it said, I have to remember when Christ changed my life. It's important that you not say that, you know, I've always been a Christian. You couldn't always be a Christian. You had to have a moment in time when your life was changed. Even if you grow up in a Christian home, you're not a Christian just because your family is. It's a personal choice that each of us make in a time and place where we say, I want to give my life to Christ, and your life is changed, and you're born again, and a whole new life comes to us as a result. Remember how Christ has called us to live. So if He lives in me, now I'm going to live differently than I've lived before. And so that's the importance. He says, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as Lord, you must continue to follow Him. So my life is now changed. It's different. I'm following Him. I'm living a new life. Now, I think one of the things that could be thought of in regard to this particular chapter is the significance of prayer. May you be remembered as one who prays. There probably could be no greater testimony, no greater thing that could be said about us than we could be one who prays. And there's several kind of marks about that that would help us to be able to know, you know, because when we're seeing things, God working actively in people's lives and praying, like if you're the only person in your workplace who's a believer and you are praying, then oftentimes, even though people may like not want to kind of say anything publicly, they'll come around to you privately and say, I have something, like, you pray, right? Yeah. And they say, I have something I'd like you to pray for. Now, you live a life in front of people. You live it consistently. You witness to the prayers that you have, and you see that people don't come to you when they need prayer because they start believing in your prayers. I have to tell you that there's one who I just really appreciate her prayers, Jessie Church. She's an incredible prayer warrior, incredible lady who prays. And what do I see? She broke her hip and had to have hip surgery, and she's in rehab. But on her way to the hospital in the ambulance, she witnessed to the people that were in the ambulance. When she gets to the hospital this week, she like kind of witnessed to four or five different people that were around, telling how God answered prayer, telling the incredible ways that God has worked. She saw that God had a higher purpose for what was happening in her life. Now, you have choices, and you could be able to make a statement, and people could hear about how God's working in your life. And you know what? Something they can't argue with, something they can't debate, is when you say, you know, I've been praying about this, and God did an incredible thing, and He answered prayer. And they go, oh, isn't that something, like a coincidence? And you say, yeah, so people could call it that, but just seems awfully funny that I'd pray and it'd happen. I mean, because you start talking about that. I mean, really, I mean, many of you that are on Facebook, you could use your Facebook posts a whole lot better if you kind of print some answers to prayer. The way God's working instead of what you ate for dinner last night. Or even your bowel habits, which so many people do. It's awful. But anyway, the fact is that you can be able to make sure that you can be a testimony to God's work. What's He doing? And how He's working? What an incredible thing. Well, as we can be able to say, He says, devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. See, live a life where others request your prayers. See, if they see God's answering prayer and He's working in your life, then they're going to come. Sometimes they come in secret because they might have given you a hard time or even whatever. They'll come around when they need prayer, and they'll ask you to pray. I've heard this over and over and over. So I know it's true. People are watching your life. They want to know that prayer works. Many people are just like hoping it works, and they want to see a real testimony of it because they've heard about it. You could be that one. So that's why Paul says, pray for us. Live a life where others see your prayers be answered. If you're praying for something, you can talk about it. I'm praying for God to be able to work, and I just really am trusting him. Then it will work. Say, whoa, it happened. And what do they say? They're like, wow, this prayer thing, like, it does work. That's awesome. I mean, because people want hope. They want to believe there's something more than ourselves, something bigger, something greater. And we're here to show that and to demonstrate that. So we bear fruit, and that's exactly what was happening with the Colossians. Live a life where prayer is a priority. So you're making sure, because when it says devote yourselves to prayer, it's one of our highest priorities. So don't just pray on the go. Take time to be able to spend time with God. Take time to pray and intercede. If you say, I'll pray for you, then do it. I suggest you do it right then. If somebody says, would you pray for this for me? I can either, if it's not convenient for me to pray publicly right then, because many times I'll stop right then and pray, or if it's not kind of able to be done, as I'm walking away, I'm praying, because I want to make sure that I don't forget. I want to keep it in my mind. And you know, when I do that, then the Holy Spirit can remind me later much better. And so when I see the prayer list that comes out every week, I try to pray as I'm reading those names. As I see prayer requests, I try to make sure I'm turning that into a prayer time instead of just like, oh yeah, I wonder how, oh, no. Pray, devote yourselves to prayer. Live a life where gratefulness is your hallmark, because you're seeing, he said, with a thankful heart. You know, it's really hard to be grateful and discontent at the same time. You can't be grateful and angry. You can't be grateful and grumpy. It just cures a whole bunch of things in our lives if you start being grateful. May you be remembered as one who lives wisely. And so how is that done in your life? Live wisely among those who are not believers. Make the most of every opportunity. You know, when you start praying for that, you'll be surprised how God will open up opportunities, because you're looking for them and you're praying about them. Live a life that's always looking for opportunities to share Christ. Just look for them. They're there. They're there. Amazing. Amazing. Sometimes we almost have to get smacked in the face by them, but I'm telling you, there's many, many more that God wants to bring. And he wants, pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. Here Paul is in prison, and he said, remember my chains. But he's not saying, free me from them, because he's saying, remember, while I'm in prison, God can do some great things. And that's exactly, he's looking for opportunities. Whatever you're going through, let me say this, God doesn't make mistakes. God never says, oops. It doesn't happen. Everything is a plan that God is working. And so what I have to do is remember, if this is God's plan and he's working, then I need to make sure I'm looking for how he can use my life through this. Live a life that's always aware of a higher purpose in all things, because that's what he's doing. He says, that's why I'm here in these chains, so I can share the gospel in even a greater way. So that's what he's doing. So here he is, instead of saying, you know, I try to do the right thing for God and look what I get. You would think, like, after all, I'm like, it's so different. Might live a life that is dependent on Christ as your supplier. He says, prayer, I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. God is the one who's going to give me the power to do this. He's going to equip me to do it. He's going to help me. And so I'm going to be dependent on him. Live a life where your conversation always uplifts the setting you're in. We should make a difference in every setting. When you come into it, you should lift the setting that you're in. There's no room for us to be Eeyores. You know? I mean, come on. Like, you know Winnie the Pooh, and Eeyore was always like, well, it's time to be here. I guess I'm going to do what I'm going to do. That's not who we are. And if it is who you are, change it. because that the scripture says, let your conversation be gracious and attractive. Attractive. So you should lift up every setting you come into. It should be better because you were there than it was before. So I'm going to have to think about what I can do. Let your conversation be gracious, attractive, so you will have the right response for everyone. It said seasoned with salt. You know what salt does? It brings out the flavor. You are to be bringing out the flavor of conversations. You're to perk up things and to make sure it's uplifting. We should be positive people. We should be able to make a difference in our world. That's what he's called us to do. And so how will you be remembered? How will you be remembered? I started thinking about these, and I didn't put underlinings in this letter because I want you just to think, which one of these is you? Which one of these is you? One, Tychicus, an ambassador. One who faithfully serves and represents Christ to others. So when people see you, would they see Christ? You're faithfully following. You're doing your very best to be an ambassador. And people would say, you know what? He was a great ambassador. I really saw Christ in his life. That's the case. Tychicus will give you a full report about how I'm getting along. He is a beloved brother, faithful helper who serves with me in the Lord's work. I've sent him to you for this very purpose, to let you know how we're doing and to encourage you. Or would you be an Onesimus? Now, I think this is a really interesting thing about Onesimus. Now, Onesimus' story is in Philemon. So all you have to do is read. It's one chapter. Like, don't read it right now. Wait till the sermon's over. But it's one chapter, and you can read about Onesimus. Now, what he was a runaway slave. Philemon was the master. Onesimus was the run. And he's actually referred to, he was useless before, but then he became useful. So his name was actually changed from useless to useful. He was transformed. Now, Paul led him to Christ. He came to Paul and he came to Christ. Then he realized, I'm in real trouble because I've run away from my master. What will I do? And so here's the choices. Do I go back and fix and right the wrongs, or what do I do? And he knew he had to. So he went, he was going back to his master. Now, his master had a choice. His master could have beaten him, could have forgiven him, could have stoned him, killed him. He had a right to do that for a runaway slave because he wanted to teach it as a lesson to the others. So he had any of those choices. But Paul sends a letter along with him that said, you know this guy, Onesimus? First, he says, masters, in chapter 4, when he starts out, masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, and know you have a master in heaven, just so you don't forget. That was really Philemon. He's kind of sending it. And he sends this letter, because they're both written right about the same time, he sends this letter along with Onesimus as he goes back to Philemon. Now, if you read it, it's kind of funny, because he says, now, you owe me your very self, but of course, I'm not asking that. I'm just kind of, and he kind of goes on with all these little kind of messages that are kind of throughout that. So if you understand, he's really pleading on behalf of Onesimus. But the interesting thing is, he was transformed. What he was, I'm also sending Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, one of your own people. So while he was sending him, he's sending him with Philemon, that letter to Philemon. It kind of clicks a whole lot differently when you think about it. The fact is, are you an Aristarchus? He was a co-laborer, one who works alongside of others, other leaders in their work and suffering. And there are those who, as a leader, I am so grateful for those who work alongside and to come and share the ministry. And what a difference it makes. Aristarchus, who's in prison with me, he sends you his greetings. As John Mark, a restorer, maybe that's who you are. Now, this is interesting. Luke and Mark are both cited in this passage, and that means two out of four of the Gospels, they both were the writers of the Gospels. Two out of four are represented here. Kind of interesting. John Mark, if you'll remember, was a cousin of Barnabas. Remember, Paul and Barnabas went together. They worked together, and they were doing missionary work. Barnabas said, I want to bring Mark with me, John Mark with me. And Paul said, no way. He can't come. He's not responsible. He's not serious enough. No, he's too young. He said, no, I want to bring. No, I think he is. No, he isn't. The disagreement was so sharp, that's what Scripture says, they disagreed sharply, that they split in their pathways. Now, I do not believe for a moment it was a sinful disagreement. Here's why. They both were blessed, and the missionary work was doubled. God would not bless sin. But what it tells us, Christians can disagree sharply. I've had that in my life. You may have had it in yours. And what I've come to have to say is, we disagree on this, and we're not going to agree, but it's okay. I still love you, and you have to still love me, because that's what God says. And so, I'm not going to change my opinion. Please don't ask me to. And I'm not going to try to change yours. This is just something we're going to disagree on, but it's okay. I'm not talking about two brothers who won't talk to each other anymore. I'm talking about two who can disagree and still love each other and still work together. And that's why I think it's really interesting. He's been restored and can now help others restore. So he says, so does Mark, Barnabas' cousin, as you were instructed before, make Mark welcome for if he comes your way. He says in another passage, I found him useful. He's on target. As Justice or Jesus, his name was Jesus, but he didn't really want to be called that because he felt that he wasn't worthy of that. So he was called Justice, one who humbly takes his place and serves. Jesus, the one who called Justice, also sends his greetings. These are the only Jewish believers among my co-workers. They're working with me here for the kingdom of God. And what a comfort they've been. Epaphras, a leader and prayer warrior, one who willingly leads and earnestly prays for those who he serves. Maybe that's what your calling is. Maybe that's who you are. Epaphras, a member of your own fellowship and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends his greetings. He also prays earnestly for you, asking God to make you strong and perfect, fully confident you are following the whole will of God. I can assure you that he prays hard for you and also for the believers. Epaphras. Luke, he's a writer, one who encourages others in their faith through their writings. They're just people who come to mind as I go through each of these. I can't help but think of Teresa Fox when I see this one. Many of you may not know Teresa, but Ken and Teresa Fox were here for years, and they moved to South Carolina. How many of you have ever received a card from Teresa Fox? Yeah, look at that. In first service, it was piled. I mean, just amazing. And do you know what? I still get them. I'm amazed. She's one who encourages others in their faith through their writings. And you know what? You could be an encourager just by writing. You don't have to, instead of sitting home and worrying about yourself and feeling sorry for yourself about whatever you can or can't do, start writing. Be an encourager. Be a Luke. Make a difference. Luke, the beloved doctor, sends his greetings. Nympha, a generous host or hostess, one who is generous with your resources and share hospitality to those in your world. What happened with her, we see, please give my greetings to our brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church that meets in her house. She evidently was wealthy because she had a house large enough for everyone to meet, but she was sharing what she had to make a difference. So maybe that generosity or that hospitality, or as a Demas. Now this is a sad one, because he's a fence sitter. There's not too much said about Demas right at this point. We do know that something is said later. And it said, Demas, because he loved the world more, has left me. What happened? One who carefully balances between two worlds until he finally falls. You know, realistically, you could have any of the other eight, and it'd be an awesome thing. But unfortunately, there are too many people who try to balance between two worlds. They aren't fully gods, and they aren't in the world. They're lukewarm. And what happens? Sooner or later, you're going to fall one way or the other. I pray that you will be fully on fire for God knowing that he has a plan and a purpose. He sends his greetings, and so does Demas. How will you live so you'll be remembered? How will you live so you'll be remembered? I like this one with Will Rogers. Live in such a way that you would not be ashamed to sell your parrot to the town gossip. Whatever happens behind those closed doors, be consistent. Live the same way outside as inside. The point of your life is to point to him. Whatever you're doing, God wants to be glorified because this whole thing is his. Carve your name on hearts, not tombstones. A legacy is etched into the minds of others and the stories they share about you. Though I may not be able to leave my children a fortune when I die, may I leave them a legacy of truth, honor, compassion, and the knowledge that I gave them all my heart. Our days are remembered. One of the primary goals in our lives should be to prepare for our last day. The legacy we leave is not just in our possessions, but in the quality of our lives. What preparation should we be making now? The greatest waste in all our earth, which cannot be recycled or reclaimed, is our waste of the time that God has given us each day. Be determined that you're going to live a life that will be remembered. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for the awesome God that you are, for the great things that you're doing. It's our prayer in our heart to live a life that will be remembered as one who made the most of every opportunity and lived wisely. Lord, you know our hearts and our needs and our desires, and you know what is needed for each of us. Help us to take the word from today and be more purposeful and intentional than ever before to live a life that will be remembered for you. In Christ's name. May God bless you. Live a life that will be remembered.